Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7. You can follow him at Ryan Callahan 24/7. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, man.
Hey, Ryan. What's happening, man?
How is it over there covering that baseball school?
Is there any buzz about this Vandy series up there in Knoxville?
There is. Let me tell you, someone sent me a link earlier this week where Tennessee's had to distribute most of its tickets because of the limitations on attendance. Most of them were pretty much sold as season tickets this year. So there's really no way for fans to buy single game baseball tickets straight from UT's ticket office. So you can buy them on aftermarket sites. And someone sent me a link earlier this week to very few tickets being posted on a site, but the very few that were there were being priced for $500. So I don't know if they got that for them, but the market is high. And I saw people last week selling them for 100 plus for the Florida series. So I would imagine this is a tough ticket too. Partly just because of supply and being pretty limited, but there's some excitement over those for sure.
Obviously, Vanderbilt's an established program, two national championships in the last decade. Would you consider this a measuring stick series for Tennessee? I mean, they're highly ranked, they're legit, but Vanderbilt's kind of the standard right now, especially in the SEC.
Yeah, no question. I think it's that way in part because, first of all, Tennessee hasn't been at that level consistently in recent years. They've kind of gradually built to this point under Tony Vitello, so that's part of it. But also, I think there's still a little bit of skepticism about Tennessee because they have won their first four SEC series, but they've, on paper, there are some cracks in the facade there that people are thinking maybe this team won't stay up there with Vanderbilt all season. This team has some maybe errors on and sort of the roster composition because they've lost their best pitcher or one of their best pitchers to an injury already. So they're not as deep top to bottom as a team like Vanderbilt, and their offense doesn't have necessarily a lot of big bats. They're just kind of a solid lineup top to bottom. So they've done it differently, and people wonder, will that hold up all season in a league like the SEC? So this is a measuring stick in that sense, but yeah, it has to be just because of what Vanderbilt has done in recent years too, and the fact that Tennessee really just hasn't been up there. So big opportunity for Tennessee is kind of how I would sell it. And I think if Tennessee takes one out of three in this series, a lot of people will say that's not bad as long as they're pretty competitive throughout the weekend. And if they somehow find a way to win the series, man, try to slow down the hype train then. It'll be a lot of people thinking a trip to Omaha is in the works if that happens.
And we have Tim Corbin on every Thursday morning with us, and he all along, even yesterday, but certainly earlier on, has been very complimentary of Tony Vitello and the job he has done to get it to this point, because under Serrano, there was hope, but it just never did fulfill itself. Don't you, what has Tony Vitello done? Because I know, didn't Vandy just go in there and get a kid out of Knoxville as a commitment? I saw that, but which is, there's been several coming out of East Tennessee to play for the Commodores, but what's Tony Vitello done to get it here that fast?
I think it's hard to overstate the importance of having been at an SEC school before and doing a good job at Arkansas and knowing what it takes to have an SEC program like that. So in a lot of ways, I think he's just kind of done his best to mirror what they did at Arkansas. And he's built a solid roster top to bottom. I think he had a better sense of how to distribute his scholarships. That's always so tricky in baseball where you don't have full scholarships to hand out to everybody. You've got to use those resources as carefully as possible. And Dave Serrano, the former Tennessee baseball coach, admitted he made some mistakes early on in scholarship distribution, giving out full scholarships to a couple of big hitters and thinking he could kind of piece it together with pitching. So I think you've seen Vitello properly invest in the right pitching, and obviously he's got a pitching background, so that's helped him piece it together on the pitching staff. So they've kind of had a balanced approach, and again, they haven't had a lot of big bats necessarily, but they've come up with enough offense to balance that with pitching. And so I think just kind of seeing it and how it was done in Arkansas and doing his best to sort of mirror that. And obviously recruiting well is a huge part of it. He's recruited pretty well considering that Tennessee's facilities, a lot of people would say, are bottom of the SEC in baseball, which is, I know, hard for a lot of fans to believe, but they really just haven't been able to upgrade Lindsey Nelson Stadium, while a lot of other SEC schools have really nice facilities now. So when you consider all that he's worked against, it is impressive he's gotten them to this point.
Ryan Callahan with us at Ryan Callahan 24/7. Rick Barnes just continues to recruit the kid out of Clarksville, Brandon Huntley Hartfield, a five star, and then Jonas Adu. He's becoming the UK of the SEC. I'm serious. He had what 2-1 and duns this year, right? So yeah, I mean, again, recruiting. Rick Barnes is bringing them in, man.
He is, and this is a little different, too, because you get a couple big-time post players. You know, Tennessee's had some nice post players, but they've really not had a lot of dominant and certainly not a lot of big, long post players to really go toe-to-toe with some of the better post players you see in the SEC. So to get a 6'9 guy like Brandon Huntley Hatfield, like you said, out of Clarksville, now up in Pennsylvania, and then he's reclassifying to the 2021 class. He's a five-star in our rankings now at 24/7 Sports for the 2021 class. Get a guy like that, and then combine that with Jonas Adu, basically a seven-footer out of North Carolina. Tennessee's not had a lot of guys in that range that have been successful anyway. So to finally really address that need in the post, a big deal. And obviously, Kennedy Chandler already coming in this class at point guard. They've got some nice pieces. We'll see if it all adds up on paper. But it's crazy to think back. Just a few years ago, people were, you know, some people were kind of jokingly calling him Retirement Rick and thinking he was just coasting into retirement. He was signing three-star players a lot his first few years at Tennessee, and now it's totally the opposite. He's definitely gone down the same path that he kind of did at Texas, where he had them really rolling with big-time prospects every year. It's starting to become that now at Tennessee.
Yeah, Ryan, and we're talking with Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7. Barnes was not exactly shy about his disappointment in his front line this season. He talked about it a lot, and, you know, you get a couple of bigs like that in there, that can improve things right away, no?
Absolutely, and that's the hope. I think there was only so much they could do about it this year, obviously. I think they realized pretty early on, once the issues showed up during this past season, that they had a roster that needed to be composed a little bit differently. I think they felt they had too many guys who had sort of similar skill sets, not a lot of guys who were great perimeter shooters, and not a dominant post presence. And that's why John Fulkerson disappointing for a lot of the year. Eve Kahn's at times not being as good as he was the previous year. It kind of came back to haunt them, and there was not much they could do about it. So I think they figured out they needed to do two things this offseason with a roster that was obviously going to be very different. They needed to get some outside shooting and improve their guard play there, and they needed to definitely improve the post players that they have on the roster. So they've clearly done that. It's going to be an entirely different-looking team. They've had some guys in the transfer portal, a couple of new assistant coaches. It's going to be an entirely different mix for that team next year, but there's talent for sure. And, yeah, they've done a decent job of addressing those needs, but still could use probably a little more help, ideally. Maybe in the transfer portal, we'll see what's out there. But they might not be done, and they still could use some help if they can find another scorer somewhere.
Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7 at Ryan Callahan 24/7. A way to follow him on Twitter. Football, first, let's check the police blotter. Nothing since last Friday?
Nothing yet.
Low-hanging fruit, Greg.
Well, we opened up the show last week with Kittengate.
I know.
I never thought I'd be talking about kittens. But anyway, I guess what? The last big scrimmage tomorrow morning, the spring game, which is a lot of times a dog and pony show, a week from Saturday. So I guess tomorrow morning's the last big scrimmage, right?
Yeah, and it's an important one usually. In most spring practices, that second one you really, because the first one sometimes can be a lot of feeling out, not getting into a whole lot of specific things and just kind of seeing what you have, especially under a new staff. And then that second one, this, like you said, a lot of people look forward to the spring game, and I know even media sometimes are talking about it from the start of spring practice, but it really is mostly a dog and pony show, and coaches are often too worried about not showing too much. Because they're on TV or you can find them online somewhere. So it's just too easy for other teams to watch, and they don't want to show a whole lot. So this is the final real test in some ways for a lot of these players. And to give Josh Heupel kind of a better sense of what he has coming out of the spring. And I think they've got some real questions to answer, and in some cases about maybe which positions they want to address most, if possible, in the transfer portal, because they do still have a few spots to maybe add some help this year if they can find the right guys. And linebacker's a big need. They've got needs across the board, but to kind of assess where they are. Do they need a couple players at any one position or just one? They've got to make some decisions on that and see what's out there. But I think that's one of the big things about this final week, starting with tomorrow's scrimmage, and obviously kind of setting the tone, too, for what they're going to do this offseason to kind of get ready for fall camp.
Well, and it opens up a little bit June 1st when the NCAA lifts the contact that's been dead for, all school year, right? Dating back to last summer, as a matter of fact. And so camps are going to start coming on. You'll be able to schedule visits, official visits again, and this and that. But as you mentioned, man, the transfer portal, you could almost recruit too much. Does that make sense right now?
Yeah, Tennessee's really got away that because you can always, even though they've sort of cracked down on working the numbers too much, you can always still use unfilled spots in a recruiting class to sort of back count an early enrollee from one recruiting class to the previous class to fill that unused spot. So you can always sort of save a spot if they don't feel like the right guy is out there. And you do run the risk of maybe recruiting a guy that's just filling a need with maybe not a great talent, just a guy who kind of fills the spot, and you weigh that versus a four-year player you could bring in next year. In building a program, that's a tough call sometimes. So I think that's something Tennessee really has to think about and decide what they want to do, and also just see who they can get. Frankly, a lot of players in the transfer portal might be looking for a different situation from Tennessee's, but if you find the right guy who wants playing time and things like that, there's a solution out there probably, and there will be more names in the portal with that one-time transfer exception now being approved by the NCAA. I think certainly intra-conference transfers, in the SEC still on hold, but, looking for help in other conferences, there's going to be plenty of options in that portal pretty soon with that being passed. So Tennessee's got some options, but got to weigh that versus the long-term possibilities that you might have in the 2022 class and even future classes.
Come on over tonight. I've got steaks I'm grilling. I'm doing it upright tonight. I'm excited. It's 6 o'clock Central, ESPNU. Of course, we have all of the Vanderbilt games here on National Sports Radio. But like I said, and tomorrow's on national TV tomorrow afternoon as well.
Yeah,
it's appointment viewing for me tonight at 6 o'clock. So come on over.
I think so. Hey, I'm looking forward to it. Let's do it.
Ryan, hey, as always, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Ryan. Have a good weekend.
Anytime. All right.